Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello and welcome to the Red Men TV. It is the build-up show for the Community Shield? Charity Shield?
Yeah.
Whatever, one of them.
Begins with C anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. As you can see, I'm Paul Mason. I'm joined by Chris Pajak and by John Machin for this one. Chris, feels like there was a longer gap from the final game of the season to the Champions League final than I was being from the Champions League final to the first game of this season.
Which is mad considering we've had about 7 games of footy since. But you're,
they all
you're,
took place in a three
you're
game,
exactly yeah. Right though. I mean, that dragged so much, and I think it was the anxiety of having a Champions League final to look forward to, which yeah. I didn't really look forward too much to it. But since then, it's just flown around, and now, like, you got Klopp coming out before this game saying it matters, and all of a sudden, I really think it does.
Yeah.
I've never ever cared for the Charity Shield
in
my life.
Because you were going big a couple of days ago on, like, the whole, it's just a friendly game.
It's a friendly.
We're just going to put a bunch of...
Klopp comes out and says it's a real game, and I'm like, go on, let's get them, come on, get the buggers and all this. Yeah. Like, it's just mad, isn't it? I mean, listen, it is Manchester City, and, you know, this is going to be a long, hard season with us competing against them. So any little knife in and a twist of it in this game, I think, would be good. And certainly for the players, I think, you know, we were speaking to, was it Virgil van Dijk at Fenway, about the Charity Shield and the Community Shield. And he was like, no, it's a trophy. And that was like a few weeks away.
They were
so
all...
The squad were ready for it. And if the squad are ready for it, it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks.
It's telling how many players we spoke to who, or like, apropos Notton, mentioned that is a game, so it was clearly their focus. They were clearly all gearing up towards
it. And the Super Cup in the same vein.
Absolutely. And what it makes perfect sense then, Dad, when you see Klopp's press conference building up to this, which he did on like Monday morning or something. God knows, God knows where he did that, but he was quite affronted at the notion that this is like a basically a glorified friendly game, and the expression curtain raiser was used, and he kind of laughed at that because I think he's keen to press home that, look, it's a piece of silverware. We're not going to open top bust for this, but it goes on the list.
If you look, we played City in pre-season games before,
yeah.
And no one cared.
Yeah.
But everyone will care about this, whether we beat them or they beat us. So, yeah, it is much more important. And how good will it be to suddenly go from having no trophies under Klopp to having two?
Yeah.
And then the Super Cup having three?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that would set us up.
And the World Cup four.
Yeah, that would set us up for the whole season. You know? So, it's a big game. I mean, I always liked winning Charity Shield. I always thought it was good fun. You're always playing one of your rivals, you know, because of the nature of the competition. So it's always good to beat them, and City in particular, because...
I still think, to be honest, they should have just given the Charity Shield to City. Seems they won both competitions.
Yeah.
So you're like,
yeah. Win it
I
by
feel
default.
Like it, I think they should have just handed them it there
but
and then.
That's why it was better when it was called the Charity Shield, because you knew it was being played for charity, and therefore there was a purpose, you know, because it's not the first time that it hasn't been the cup winners versus the champions. There have been other occasions when it's been different. But it was always played for charity, and that's why calling it the Charity Shield made sense of it.
Yeah. No, like I really
was it now when the
community
shield or something.
What community is that?
Yeah.
Our community, their community, someone else's community.
No one really knows or ultimately
just going
cares.
Into the Tories' back pocket.
Yeah, well, this is This is the most I've cared about this competition. It's funny because I'm normally on holiday this week in August, and this is what it's done to me. I'm here, and we're building up for a Liverpool game, which is now the first game of the season, a week before it's all meant to start. And this is the game where you're normally abroad, and it's like Arsenal are in it, and you might find a pub somewhere, and you'll go and watch it, and it's a night, you'll have a pint and a relax and watch the first taste of footy for the season. And this is what it is, and the deeper meaning of it, we can make a case one way or the other. But for Liverpool to be involved in this game, it's not a massive game, it's not a game with mass importance, but it is another indicator that, you know, you're a side going in the right direction, because, you know, okay,
we
won neither of the qualifying competitions for it, but, you know, we were the next in
line. Boots that City will be really up for it, because they'll did win the two competitions, yeah, and they didn't win the Champions League.
I don't think
League.
You should get to keep the other trophies if you don't win.
Yes. Hang on a minute. Is our Champions League up for grabs?
Let's win the Super Cup first before we make that a thing.
This is a chance for them to beat the champions of Europe, isn't it? So yeah, they'll be up for it.
Absolutely. And I think it's so much... A great sense of relaxation fell upon me when Liverpool beat Lyon in the build-up to this, Chris. And even though it was the most hodgepodge thrown together team, you know, we saw 200 players pull on the shirt and go on their seat quite comfortably. We made changes like every 15 minutes pretty much throughout the whole game. It was balmy, but there's something to be said, and we've just done our pre-season review. So if you want to go back and into like a 45-minute odd show talking about everything that happened in pre-season, the important aspects of it, etc., it's on the redmentv.com. Highly recommended. But so we covered a lot of this stuff, but there's been this real cloud of doom hanging around social media, not on the streets, not with the people you bump into, you know, when you talk about the Reds, but certainly on social media. And I've not been down about Liverpool, but I've been dreading this game, because if you've gone into this on the back of having lost 3 and won 1 or drew 1 of your last 4 pre-season games or whatever it was, and then go in and lose the Charity Shield, it feels like the season's over, you know, catastrophically before it started. So I'm glad we had that, because I think it gave everyone, all the fans particularly, the lift that we probably needed.
Yeah, I think so. I think for me, you know, I want us to win the Charity Shield, I want us to win the Super Cup, the World Club Cup, the Champions League, the FA Cup and the Carabao, maybe. Now, it's a little annoying that dream can be over before the season's even actually started,
yeah,
of winning 6 competitions. So for me, it ends a little bit early,
yeah,
this competition. I get annoyed that the Carabao ends in January,
yeah,
but the Charity Shield being literally before the season starts, that's a little bit annoying. I want to beat City. I really do want to get one over on them. I want to dent their players' confidence a little bit. I want to dent their fans' confidence a little bit. And I'm sure Liverpool players feel exactly the same way.
I'm just going back to this stuff about people being pessimistic and being upset that we're losing, you know, pre-season games. Our last competitive game, we won the Champions League.
Yeah.
End of story.
Yeah.
Our next competitive game's not until this weekend.
Yeah.
So...
Fortunately, we're in a healthy position, just as Manchester City are, is that if you lose this game, you just say it was a friendly.
Exactly. Yeah, I totally agree on this, is that, and this is what I was saying before, but like, you can spin it both ways. If you win it, then it's a great chance to lay a marker down, to give your big rivals a bloody nose, to get a bit of, you know, one-upmanship, etc. as fans. If you lose it, then you get to go, well, it's a bit early yet, and the players are not fully fit, and et cetera, et cetera. And look, both sides have got those viable
and
excuses.
And I bet if anyone did any research, the outcome of the Charity Shield or Community Shield has no bearing whatsoever in who wins the Premier League.
I remember we beat Chelsea in 2007, I think it might have been, after we won the FA Cup. Was that the game where, like, Balak and Shevchenko made their debuts, I think? And we were brilliant in that. We battered them, you know, the new lads in that game and all that. But Chelsea were a much better side than us ultimately were. It's a good test. You know, what I think both sides have got the preloaded excuses if it doesn't quite go the way. I mean, you know, Aguero and Gabriel Jesus have only just come back into training this week, so they've not even played a pre-season game for City yet. No, I'm not even sure if Fernandinho's back. Otamendi literally has only just come back this week as well. So they've got a great set. There's the side out of interest that they played in the last game against Yokohama. They have Bravo in goal, so again, Edison's not played a pre-season game for them yet as well. Walker, John Stones, Watkins, Laporte, Zinchenko's a back four, midfield three, Rodri anchoring with De Bruyne and David Silva, and then Bernardo Silva, Raheem Sterling playing centre forward.
It's still a good side.
Terrible side.
I know, yeah. Good them, aren't they?
I was all right with it until you went from Rodri forwards, and I was like, yeah, they've still got a lot of good players.
But the good thing, I mean, like I say, they have, I mean, that's the fundamental difference, I think, between them and us. And what we talked about last season was their best players are so well established in that side, whereas I think some of ours are still kind of making the way. But, you know, the fact that they don't have, I mean, Sterling playing centre forward, we've seen Sterling play centre forward, he's capable, he's had a really good pre-season, he's scored quite a few goals as well. There's still some doubt over the mentality of Leroy Sané, whether he's angling for a move away.
He still scares the life out of me every time he gets the ball.
I mean, pre-season.
I've been praying that Bayern would buy him.
Yeah.
Because I don't like playing him.
How often?
How often do you pray?
Sorry?
Pray more often.
Oh, I see. I don't pray at all, sorry.
turn of phrase, not a reality. If anyone does, though, please make it happen before Sunday. But yeah, obviously, so we know that the Aguero thing, Aguero not being full fit and firing has to be considered an advantage for us because he has such a tremendous record of scoring goals against us. Fernandinho not being there is another one who is brilliant. It is what it is. It's late pre-season, isn't it? That's the nature of where we're at. But it's encouraging, I think, when you read into some of the City stuff that their preparations have been disrupted by the international tournament. The same as ours. You know, Mahrez has been at the AFCON. They've had some of their best players at the Copa America the same way that we have. So it is going to be a case of who's capable of putting the fittest, most hungriest squad out. And us just having those 30 minutes odd for Salah and Firmino in midweek and pre-season, knowing that they haven't been able to do the same for Aguero, I think gives me a little bit of encouragement in that regard.
Absolutely. It was just brilliant to see them back on the pitch.
Yeah.
You know, and strictly Bobby scoring, it was superb. And I'm hoping Mane gets a run out of the weekend as well.
Yeah, just drop him in. Yeah, why not? Yeah.
I think you're right, though, Paul. I think, you know, I'm not expecting Salah and Firmino to start. I'm hoping that they do, but, you know, the whole point is to get someone match fit for Norwich. So they're going to have minutes if they want to be match fit for Norwich, whether that be from the start or the end. But and I think City might go the same way.
Yeah.
It's whether they've got a little bit more trust in their backups.
Yeah. So, Dad, Klopp said that he's, you know, he said no one's told me it's a friendly, it's a final, it's the first time I've heard no one rate it. He went on about how many of them he'd won in Germany as well. We saw Naby Keita, Jadon Sancho, Bobby Salah all getting minutes in that. Do we think we'll come to predict 11s in a minute, but do we think these things inform how strong Jürgen will go for this?
I think he'll go as strong as he can, to be honest. But I think the dilemma's going to be, you've only got the normal run-of-the-mill subs, I'm assuming, that you can only bring on three.
I think it's three. Yeah, that's a great question.
There's six subs, isn't there?
I don't know how many of them you can use.
When people told me that there's six subs, I thought, well, normally there's seven, so it must be the fact maybe that you can use six.
If you can use six, that changes things considerably because clearly you can put on players like Keita and Shaqiri and Mo and Bobby for a time and then be bringing them off. But if you've only got three, then you've got to use them really carefully if you still want to win the trophy.
Yeah. You know. Well, let's play a game of hypothetics in this. Knowing that Man City have got a reasonably similar issues kind of thing with some of their players and the fitness and what have you, do you go, well, we'll start Salah, Firmino, and we'll go for it for 60 minutes, or do you go with a side that's capable of containing for 60 minutes and then bring those lads onto the pitch? Because there's a game of brinksmanship that could possibly be had there, because if they, you know, the team that goes for it is not going to have much in reserve, and vice versa.
I don't know. So, sorry, just to confirm, it's six subs that you're allowed to use.
Yeah, seven on the bench, and you can use six.
Okay, so I think that's
Simon Mignolet coming on for them.
I'd always tend to go for the throat early, to be honest with you. That's what I'd like to do. You know, get out there. Hope that they've gone the other way.
Yeah.
First of all, so they're playing their poorer players, and then you put everybody on, hit them as hard as you can, get three goals up. and then put Adam Lallana on the six and hold the game out.
Much Twitter going to melt down. Yeah, absolutely. Right, we'll do preferred 11s in a second. Before we do, we've mentioned it before, but Chris got to sit down with the Liverpool boss, Jurgen Klopp. There's a clip out on YouTube right now that you can check out if you haven't done so, but the full interview is available on the redmentv.com. Is a little bit more from that.
System, yeah, we will see, which we will use. We have to be, over the season, we had to be creative. It's just like this, that's when we come to that. Transfer stuff like that, you cannot cover each position with two players of the same quality. It's just not possible. So because you always create another problem in the squad, which nobody wants to hear outside, I know that, but it's still there. So you need to be creative. He can play, I think last year, Hendo played right back, right?
Yeah.
So we had different solutions for some problems. Nobody really, we gave Kleine on loan. 1 week later, Trent was out, right? wonderful moment.
Whose decision was that?
A wonderful moment. don't talk about that. So,
So yeah, get over to redmentv.com. It's completely free for the first month. It's a 23-minute sit-down with the gaffer. Like I say, you've got a good taste of that on the YouTube channel, which we'll annotate to at the end of the video. If you just want to check that out, by all means, be our guest. It's great in and of itself. But yeah, the full thing is there. And
if you want to hear Jurgen Klopp's impression of John Machen, it's on there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It does an impression of my dad on there, which is almost worth the subscription alone.
I mean, this is the thing for me, Paul. And you know, we've advertised this now a few times over the videos and stuff. Jurgen Klopp literally watches these videos. He's the same as you and I, and he talks about it.
I don't watch these videos.
Okay, he's the same as yous. but that is a boss thing to think of, though, as well, isn't it? Yeah. You know what I mean? And stuff like that. So,
I wondered why I'd had a few new followers. That was obviously why.
There you go. Like, it was a good impression, to be fair.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, well, have you not seen it?
Show you it. Because we forgot to upgrade a subscription from the base level one.
The £2 one? Yeah. Well, he needs to give us £3 a month then. That's simple as.
Yeah.
I'm charging you £5.
Yeah. So, yeah, go and check out that. As I say, it's completely free for the first month. There's exclusive interviews with the likes of Divock Origi, Gini Wijnaldum, Virgil van Dijk, Jordan Henderson, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain. There's tons and tons of amazing stuff on there. And as I say, you're going to get the first month of the season as well and all the fallout and reaction from the Charity Shield and beyond. So, yeah, go over and get involved with all of that. And if you have got a RedmenTV.com subscription, let people know how you're getting on with it in the comments section underneath.
Did they tell you about it?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Sorry.
Did he tell you about it, Paul?
What about what?
About Klopp's impression of you?
Not really, he just sort of mentioned it.
Paul, but you sent him a picture of the pint in a pub you went in 15 years ago and you forgot all...
I did tell him.
You did?
Yeah. He didn't tell me he did an impression, he just said he made a comment about... Anyway,
told me,
Mum. And he switched off when the next started tomorrow. Yeah.
So, Dad, what are you going for? What's your team for this one?
Well, to be honest, I think I've gone for the team I think he'll play rather than what I would prefer, because I would always prefer Joe.
Man, he said you prefer team.
I would always prefer Joe Gomez, and I don't think he will. You know, I think it'll be Trent. And I've gone with Matip. They've got the basic back four, Matip, Van Dijk, Robbo. Midfield of Fabinho, Henderson and Gini Wijnaldum. Okay. And a front three of Mo, Bobby and Origi.
Ah.
So I've done the defence like you, John. I've gone with the team that I think he'll put out, although I'd prefer Gomez as a centre-half. But I've gone with Alisson, Trent, Matip, Van Dijk, Robbo. And then I've gone Fabinho, Henderson. Someone that I want to see in there is Ox.
Yeah.
I think he'll go with Wijnaldum, but I do feel like I'd like to see Oxlade-Chamberlain in there. And then the front three, I think I've gone exactly the same as you. I've gone Salah, Firmino, Origi on the left-hand side.
My thing on it, because I think the back five picks itself, because I actually would prefer to see Matip. I think in the wider context of things, Joe Gomez, the future, certainly, but Matip was outstanding. Matip's been outstanding. That's our first choice centre back pairing, as far as I'm concerned. So until such point,
a meritocracy. I think you're absolutely
no. Right. I think Klopp has shown that's the way he's going.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's been. I mean, I've been saying this for years. He's been trying to get Matip in there for ages as well. You know, that was who started with Van Dijk when we signed Van Dijk, and the only injury kind of stopped that happening. So Joel Matip absolutely deserves. I think he's been fine in pre-season as well, and it's telling that we've used Gomez more once again at right back in pre-season than we have at centre half. So be interesting to see how that plays out over the course of the season. So yeah, the back five is the back five. Fabinho picks himself. He's played the most minutes pretty much of anyone in this team in pre-season, and then I think Henderson's nailed on. And I've gone Milner in the midfield because, again, but that's linked to my front three, because once again, we've not seen Origi play wide in pre-season. But we have seen two or three games of Gini doing it, so I see no point in doing that
I know the six subs, I'm wondering whether, in fact, playing the three main forwards that are fit and have trained... It may be a mistake, because clearly who do you bring on later on?
Well, this is why Origi's not starting for me, because
I'm beginning to wonder whether maybe Origi will be the first sub up front.
That's it for me. He's will do the same as the Champions League final, and that's why he's played number nine. He's Bobby Firmino's not going to get 90 minutes in this game. You know, we might get maybe slightly more for Salah, but Firmino's definitely going to, because he's played too much. He's played too much football, hasn't he? Of everyone, you know, particularly going deep in the Copa America. Mo's had a little bit more time off, hasn't he? Because you know, from going.
Who does get 90 minutes? You know, because no one's had 90 minutes up until this point.
Well,
yet,
I think the
Fabinho had 90 minutes.
The vast majority, you know what I mean. To that point, I think Fabinho's gone deep in most of the.
I don't know, other than the goalkeepers, whether anyone has actually had a full 90 yet. And I'm sure that Klopp need to do even, that.
I'm not even sure. The goalies had 90 even. They've changed them a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's interesting in and of itself, because, you know, you could, in your scenario, you could play Firmino up top and then just move Origi to the nine. Because someone's going to have to play 90 minutes of footy.
Five people are going to have to play full 90 minutes.
And so then you're picking who's closest and who you want and all that type of stuff.
I would think Van Dijk would be nailed on to play the whole game.
I think in terms of the pecking order of quality, Origi is the even though I'm putting Gini ahead in the starting thing, I think Origi is the fourth forward, isn't he? You know, in terms of the pecking order. So you want. You lessen the impact if you've got him on the pitch, because who's bringing, what goals are you bringing onto the pitch?
That's always, we have this every single time we do a build-up show, is you want to spread it out over the course of 90 minutes. I'm like, get it on there now, get them dead early on in games.
But it's different to normal, because you can play Firmino for 90 minutes in normal games.
Yeah.
You can play Salah for 90. You physically can't do that in this match. So you're going to have to sub at least two.
That's
of them.
I think, you know, I'm looking at Brewster, I'm looking at Origi, I'm looking at Shaqiri, he's going to get minutes, and that's where you're getting your cover from, I suppose.
Trent Shaqiri, Ox.
Yeah.
Ox Shaqiri.
I think Oxlade-Chamberlain.
Brewster definitely at some point.
Yeah, Oxlade-Chamberlain and Origi are nailed on for me as the addition. But depends on what your approach is for this game, because we spent all of last season converting to being a possession-based side. Do we have to go back to being a counter side for this game? Because that's where we have our best joy against Manchester City. So it might facilitate putting Oxlade-Chamberlain back into the midfield. So you've got a bit more pace on the counter. And you're dead right. Then you are putting Origi left wing, because you're getting as much as many fast lads in. You just want to catch them, hopefully catch them cold in the first half, and then you can go back to being solid.
At some point, I love watching those counter attacks. I think it's a really good game of cat and mouse almost. But equally, I'd like to be the better possession side. Mm-hmm. At some point, I think you have to be able to change that. And I don't know whether this is the season that we do that, but it would be great to think that we're actually a better passion side than City. I don't think we're there yet, but at some point I would like to change that dynamic as well.
Yeah, maybe. Mm. Yeah, it's interesting.
The other factor, of course, is what City do. Because clearly, if they can't play Mahrez and they can't play Aguero and Jesus probably. So where do they go next? You know, or do they make these players play up?
And really, can Rodri, De Bruyne and David Silva deal with Harvey Elliott? That's the big question of the day, isn't it? You know what I mean?
Hey, Harvey Elliott, I was being very impressed with him.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think they'll have come up against a player like him before.
I think Pep Guardiola would be desperate to not take this game dead seriously. But unfortunately, it does. So I wonder whether he'll be forced into a gamble. And I think again, the players that they've got to gamble on are slightly more of a gamble fitness-wise. It could be famous last words, of course. But again, Aguero, just in terms of a lad who's had so many injuries through his career, they've gotten lucky in recent times with that. But are you going to gamble on his fitness for the season by chucking him in? It's fascinating, if nothing else. And it certainly adds, as if anything needed to be added to the excitement of this game.
Also, there's another dynamic with the Aguero, Jesus stuff. I think in my head, and City fans will be able to tell me if I'm wrong on this, but at some point there's got to be a changing of the guard between Aguero and Jesus. And it feels to me this season's the one. And if I'm Aguero, I kind of don't want Jesus to get a start in this. I kind of want to make sure that I'm in every single week, putting that marker down and saying,
Pep's
you can't get in this
excuse,
side.
Well, he's tried for 2 years to do it, hasn't he?
So if you're Aguero, you don't really want to let Jesus start this game, do you? So you're knocking on the manager's door going, I'm ready.
Well, they're both in a similar boat, though, aren't they? You know, in terms of preparation, they were
coming back from Copa.
So both of them only arrived back in training on Wednesday, having not played a single minute of pre-season for them. And look, Kevin De Bruyne is going to be the key to this, isn't he? I think we were chatting off air on this.
He's on fire by all accounts.
He's flying in pre-season for them so far. And same as Sterling. And look, I think, it shouldn't be underestimated, as we know. Bernardo Silva, by all accounts, was their best player last season. Well,
every time
Leroy
I saw
Sané
them, he was their
problems.
Best player.
Big chance for Trent.
But they normally take
Bernardo
Silva off, don't they? Bring Mahrez on. Well, they can't do that.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, so. And Sané would normally come on and replace Sterling. So.
Do we know, and Si is one for you to have a quick Google of while we prepare our predictions, can you still share the Community Shield, or does it go to Penn?
I think it goes straight to Penn without extra time, doesn't it?
I know there's no, there's defo no extra time, but I don't know whether it gets shared or whether it goes to Penn. Simon will find that out for me. Dad, what how do you think this one's going to go?
I have no clue. Absolutely no clue. I just think it'll be a typical City Liverpool game. It'll be very close. There'll probably be one goal in it. It probably depend on a little bit of luck. You know, last time we played them, they beat us by us not, being short of by a millimetre or two from a goal, and them hitting the post with one that bounced in.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and company not getting sent off when he should. Those little things change the game, don't they?
But, yeah.
And let's hope they go in our favour this time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Straight to penalties.
Straight to pens. Okay, cool. So we'll
Liverpool to win on pens.
Yeah.
Brewster, what, 12, top bin, 12, 11. Fifth pen, no yeah. messing around.
12-11 on pens, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I'd love it if, I'd genuinely love it if Alisson scored a pen and Ederson didn't. That would be can you imagine the Twitter fume that would go off about that?
Yeah, it'd be amazing. However, it shouldn't matter really, but I don't, Liverpool aren't so good that this competition, this shield can't matter to us. You know, I think you reach a point when you're good and you win in the league every season, the FA Cup, and you're in it every other year. And I think Liverpool became blasé about it in the 80s and whatever, because it's just the thing you turned up to as a bit of a jollies or whatever prior to the season starting. Liverpool should be going about the business of getting as many shiny silver things on the books.
If Liverpool win
this,
everyone will be scared to death of us.
Yeah.
Because people will think, oh my God, they really are as good as... Yeah. People have been saying.
And for me, it sounds daft, but in terms of the full season, I want us to compete for the Premier League 100%. And I haven't even really thought about the Champions League again, because it's so unlikely that we get to three finals on the bounce. But who knows? But this is a season where just acquiring bits of silverware just adds to the mystique, because I think it's going to be I think it's too hard to win the league this season just in terms of the physical fatigue off the back of 2 years almost of solid footy for our best players. So for me, this season is about gathering whatever you can just to keep the whole enterprise ticking over. And look, if you only win the Community Shield in a season, that's not enough, it's not good enough. But if you compile a small pile of lesser value trophies, it matters. It starts, you know, again, the honours list just gets a little bit bigger. It's got a bit fresher. You know, they go next to players' names on the Wikipedia honours and all that kind of stuff. And I think it does matter. For me, it starts with this. So I would like very much as whatever it takes to kind of get this over. And I hope it's just a case of fight. And I hope Liverpool have just got that little bit more. And if they have, I think it'll be a close one, but I think we'll come out on top. Let me know your score predictions in the comments section underneath or by tweeting at the Redmen TV. Do go and check out the Jürgen Klopp interview. I can't stress this enough. It's brilliant. We're so lucky to be able to do it. And look, it's all made possible by the people who subscribe to the website. So people say, why do you put the full thing out on YouTube? Because ultimately, the people who subscribe to the website fund this entire endeavour. So if you're the ones who are watching stuff on YouTube for free, you need to thank the people who do go over to the website and subscribe, because there would be no free stuff if it wasn't for the people who do subscribe. So yeah, and we don't just say give us money. Plenty of people do that. There's major news organisations that say, oh, can you just donate to us? No, fuck that. We give you loads of amazing content. We wear our arses off every single day of the year to make sure that you've got cool and interesting things to keep your mind occupied in between matches. That's video content and podcast content as well, more than you can ever possibly fill your life with. It's there for you, and a massive back catalogue of player interviews and exclusives as well. So go over to theredmentv.com and sign up for this brand new season that hopefully sees Liverpool as the reigning European champions smash their way through all opponents in front of them. Gentlemen, thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure. Cannot wait to get down to Wembley. If you go and tweet us and let us know, and we'll hopefully meet up after the game or whatever. Other than that, we shall see you there. Ta-da.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.